The American Players Theater in Spring Green is celebrating its 40th summer this year. The organization has certainly come a long way from its start. It now attracts more than 110,000 people from around the country. I'm Jill Nadeau. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network today. In the studio with me are Brenna Davida, the Artistic Director of APT, and Carrie Van Halgren, the Managing Director. Why do you love going to APT shows? What questions do you have about what goes on behind the scenes at the Theater in the Woods? Join in by calling 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Well, ladies, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Well, it's hard to believe, but there are some people, some listeners, who do not know what American Players Theater is. Brenda, why don't you just tell us about APT? What is it today?
Oh, what is it today?
Yeah.
It's very different than it was 40 years ago,
right.
And very the same, actually.
Okay.
So I love to always honor the fact that there's a lot of people who still come for the last 40 years and have been coming every year.
Amazing.
But the new people, I always say to them, if you haven't been, you should. It's unlike any place, and any place I've ever gone to see an outdoor theater or theater at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's set in the woods. It's about 110 acres in the woods, about 45 minutes of outside of Madison. And we do 9 plays in rotating rep, which is a lot of shows.
It so sure is.
It's very different in that respect. You kind of wander through the hills. You do a picnic beforehand. And then it's a real community event. I mean, it really is. There's nothing like being outdoors and kind of letting go of the week and making a plan and taking that special time. Like, I think the big thing is that it requires people to slow down,
sure,
and make the plan, mm-hmm, and visit with their friends and find out the dates and plan their picnic and then come up the hill. And that walk up the hill
slow you down.
It'll slow
kind of
it's a little bit of a hike. We do have shuttles for those that can't make it up the hill. But there is something about being in nature that is completely awesome and, mm-hmm, and awe. You know, you're in awe of nature while you're and this being that with 1,000 people kind of under the stars is, mm-hmm, it is magical. People use that word all the time, and I was like, it's I don't know how to define magic, but it does have a sense of otherworldliness when it's beautiful night and the play's going on and you're with all those people.
And, you know, we do wildlife shows on, mm-hmm, on Larry Mueller's show. And twice in the last 2 weeks, people have let us know that you can hear whippoorwills because people are calling in and saying, we haven't heard a whippoorwill in ages. And we've had two people call and say, well, they should go to APT because there's a whippoorwill that hangs out there and adds to the performances.
It's actually on our performance reports. We always have a wildlife section on our performance report.
Really?
Yeah, and all the stage managers keep track of what animals visit us throughout the show. And whippoorwills always have a time that they start to sing.
Okay.
And we always have that time on the show report. We always look for that. It's really fun.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, I've seen lots of bats when I've been out there.
Yes, so.
What are your thoughts on it, Carrie? What's different about APT?
Well, personally for me, and this is a personal thing, I believe in God because of nature and because of art. And APT is the perfect, in my experience, merging of those two.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing elements. I started coming to APT as a kid in the 80s. I grew up in Platteville.
Okay.
And I fell in love with Shakespeare at APT. And there was a festival in Platteville at the time, too. And the opportunity to come back and be here at APT in Southwest Wisconsin in this beautiful area with Shakespeare,
mm-hmm,
was a treat for me. And I was at a talk back last night on the Hill, and an audience member asked the actors, why do you come here? Why do you come to APT when you could work any other place? And they said, because of you, the audience, because this audience is the most generous, the smartest, the most game for what we're up to than any other place. They're invested, I think, because of the effort, like you, mm-hmm, said, Brenda, that it takes, mm-hmm, to come to APT.
Yeah. And for those who don't know what a talk back is, that's after the show and the actors come out and talk to people in the audience. So, mm-hmm, just now you know. You know, before we even get any further, why don't you explain what you do as for your jobs? Because a lot of people who aren't in this particular kind of business have no clue. So you, the artistic director, Brenda, what does that mean?
Oh, it's, first of all, it's like the biggest joy of my life. I mean, it's such a, I'm so grateful and I'm so happy to be able to collect artists. I mean, basically my job is to curate a group of amazing human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I call them warriors, the people who work at APT, because we do really strive for, you know, world-class art. We really do strive great plays. Because I always joke and say it's a great place to have a picnic, but you know you can have a picnic anywhere. So why would you come out to APT? I mean, the work has to be worthy of their effort. Yeah. And I think we happen to know how to pick a needle out of a haystack when it comes to finding artists. And when we meet an APT artist or an APT person, we all know what that means. It means someone who is more interested in the whole. They're more interested in the story. They're more interested in the collective collaboration. Mm-hmm. They're interested in a little bit of masochists. A little masochism going on in there, right? And production staff.
There's
a little bit of that, right? They they are willing to kind of go the extra mile and kind of pride themselves on going the extra mile. And I think that that my job is to make sure I don't get in the way of their great work and put the right teams together on the shows. I choose the shows. I choose this with a group of humans that are my associates, and I choose the shows. But I also, the big part of my job is to manage the core company, the company of actors, and make sure that they are kind of, those of you that don't come or do come, they're a group of actors we base a lot of our work on, and they're kind of at the center of our work, and they have long-standing relationships with the work and with the audience that they love,
and the
plays and such that we do. So my job is to kind of make sure that the season gets cast, gets put together, hire those designers, directors, actors, and it's a great job.
Yeah,
that's
a great job.
Yeah, it is a great job. I cannot complain.
Carrie, managing director. That sounds like a great job, too.
It's a great job. It's a great job. I always say that Brenda makes sure the art is great, and I make sure we have the resources to do the art.
Okay.
So whether it's marketing, fundraising, operations, facilities, those all fall kind of under my umbrella. But we work hand in hand. Every decision that we make as an organization comes through a senior leadership team and the two of us together. So it's a real collaborative leadership environment. We both, Brenda will ask me what I think about plays. I will ask her what she thinks about fundraising, marketing. You know, we're very much in each other's worlds.
Yeah, it's a really amazing dynamic as far as there's a group of people that have devoted themselves to, you know, running the place. I joke about it. I used to joke about it. Now it's actually something above my desk. But how we do the work that we do is as important as the work we do. And the work we do is really important. But at the end of the summer, because people aren't just coming for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 10 weeks, they're coming for 6 months. It's part of their life. And I say, we need to be proud of the work, but we also need to be proud of ourselves. And so that's a real part of our culture out there. We really work hard to make sure that we're working together in a way that's collective and seeing and hearing everyone.
Sure. And we're talking about the American Players Theater with Brenda DeVita. She's the artistic director, and Carrie Van Halgren, the managing director. So let's go back 40 years. What was the beginning of APT? Carrie, you want to take that?
Sure. Well, the beginning of APT was a group of artists who wanted to do Shakespeare and the classics uncut outside of the realm of critics who might be too harsh on the work, who might. I think they wanted to do it in isolation for a great audience. Brenda, step in here if I think, and so they found this farm outside of Spring Green and found a natural bowl in the hillside. And the story goes, and I have firsthand account of somebody who was there, that they walked down in Okio Grosso, Randy Kim, Randall Duck Kim, and Charles Bright, and walked down to the bottom of that hillside and spoke Shakespeare's words, and people at the top of the hill could hear them. And they said, this is it. This is where we want to be.
They landed at like 45 different sites, I think. Well, that's what I heard at some point.
Wow.
And what I've heard as well is that they had experience with Wisconsin audiences and thought Wisconsin audiences would be the perfect audience to try this endeavor. It was brave and bold and
crazy.
And
well, where were they performing at the time? Where did they come from?
Well, Randall Duck Kim had been performing all over the country. He'd been most recent. A lot of people had known him from the Guthrie.
Okay. In Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. I think, had they been in D.C.? Brenda, do you know the answer?
I don't remember. I mean, I only ever heard about Randall's career, honestly, as an actor. They'd always worked together. I think that three of them had created a working relationship between them. But I know that Randall was considered one of the greatest, and still is one of the, he's just was one of the greatest Shakespearean actors. And he was, I have heard from the people who worked with him, was looking for a place to literally, what I think is still what's happening at APT in a very different way, but is the craft of acting. I mean, the center of what we do is words on a page and great actors.
Yeah.
And everyone else is important to make that happen. Everything else makes it the experience that it is. And I don't want to disqualify or discredit anyone. I'm just saying that what he started was an attempt to have people really devote themselves to being great actors and the craft of taking language off a page and creating character and tension and stories and to keep the audience engaged in a great story through great acting. So I think that that's the thing that the core company kind of has devoted their lives to, and the actors that come are always coming to do is to create that story. So I think to create those stories together. So I think Randy and Annie and Chuck were after great storytelling.
Mm-hmm. And they also were really after, really interested in training, and they started a training program right off the bat. And it was an intense program that generated some fantastic actors, many. And that was really important to them, and that remains important to us. People who are interested in doing this kind of work, that's really hard, but really rewarding. Shakespeare classics, language-based plays, outdoors. We're looking for those people too, and turning them into great actors.
Because that is definitely some skill sets that not every actor has.
No. I mean, it's certainly, I would love for you to talk to the actors about that. They're much more able to articulate exactly.
They're in rehearsals right now.
They are actually in rehearsals right now. They better be. I just think I'm in such awe of the combination of what is required now as opposed to in the past. I mean, we joke about, you see Richard Burton's films of Shakespeare, and you're like, whoa, wow, okay, that's something. But I mean, because because the way we watch things now and our expectation of authenticity is very, very different now. Mm-hmm. But we still have these incredible plays that speak to us and we speak to them, and they'll only be around as long as that's the case. Mm-hmm. And so that requires us to understand how people listen to plays now. And listen, I use on purpose, because that's how, you know, you experience these plays as much as seeing them.
Sure.
Or in a visual context on film, it's seeing, you know.
And so many nuances that you don't catch when you're on film. So you're seeing it through one person's eyes rather than your eyes.
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting. What was the first show that you did there? Do you know?
Oh, Midsummer Night's Dream.
Oh, was it?
Always and ever, forever.
Okay.
And I meet people from time to time who were there for that very first performance. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if somebody will call in and share what that was like.
Wow.
It was Midsummer, which is the perfect play for that spot, of course.
Right, absolutely. We've been talking with Brenda DeVita, the artistic director for APT, and Carrie Van Halgren, the managing director. What questions do you have for them about APT or theater in general, or what show? Those of you seen there, tell us about it. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. We will be right back after this look at the news. American Players Theater has become a Wisconsin institution, and it's celebrating their 40th summer this year. I'm Jill Nadeau, in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network. With me from APT are Brenda DeVita, the artistic director, and Carrie Van Halgren, the managing director. Do you have a favorite memory of attending APT productions? What would you like to know about how the theater operates? Well, join in by calling 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Well, ladies, before we start continue to chat, we have a caller online, Chris in Geneva, Illinois, or Galena, I'm sorry, Illinois. Chris, tell us what you wanted to talk to Brenda and Carrie about. Chris, are you there?
Hello.
Yes.
This is Chris.
What's your story?
Hi, this is Chris.
Yep.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Go ahead.
So, 40 years ago when I was 21, my father drove me up past Spring Green, and I auditioned for Randall Duke Kim. It failed miserably. Yeah. I was a song and dance guy, you know, and never been Shakespeare. So I said, well, what about, can I be in the backstage? And he says, no, we don't want wannabe actors.
That's funny.
So he shook my hand and wished me good luck. And I went out to the waiting room, and everybody from the theater was all gathered around my father, who looked like Falstaff. And he did. And they were much more interested in him than they were me. Of course, insult to injury.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, do you remember what pieces you did?
Oh, I did. I did the ending speech for a Puck. I still remember it.
Oh, really?
Wow,
that's wonderful.
Have you been back?
Pardon me?
Have you been back?
I must be very vindictive.
Well, you are a true actor, Chris.
Yeah.
Do you do community theater?
Pardon me?
Have you done any other theater?
Oh, gosh, yes. For almost 45 years.
Okay. But, so you found your home.
Yeah. And I've always enjoyed Shakespeare. We used to go up to Platteville for their Shakespeare Festival every year. We saw everything, and it was just wonderful. And so I mean, maybe I was inspired by that, but I was never meant to be a Shakespearean actor.
Not everybody is, right? Yeah.
You should come visit us sometime.
Yeah, come visit us.
Oh, I will. Oh, I will. I think 4 years, I think I've forgiven.
I think it's important you get over that.
It'd be really nice. Well, let's go back to Gregory now, too, because he's in Milwaukee and he has some memory he'd like to share. Hi, Gregory.
Hi there. Yes, I didn't make the first performance, but I attended Midsummer Night's Dream during the first season at APT.
Wow.
And I still remember it because in those days the center of the stage was very open.
Right.
So you could see through to the trees in the background.
Yeah.
And that night fireflies rose up in the background. The moss and of course the bat flew through.
Right. It's always a bat.
the whippoorwill called from the underbrush nearby the stage, and it was still the most magical evening of theater that I've ever experienced.
Wow!
So I've been hooked ever since.
Oh, great. How did you find your way out to Spring Green? How did you hear about APT at that time?
Well, at that time I was working in Grant County. Lancaster, so it was mentioned. It was mentioned in the local papers. Mm. Actually, the first time I went looking for it, I ended up at the Platteville Shakespeare Festival, which was good too. But I had to kind of hunt it down. But it was mentioned.
Well, you sound like I really do say that our audiences are like the adventurers. They've always struck me as the people I'd like to hang out with. You know, they're making that effort, that they're looking for something new and different and inspiring. And I'm really grateful that you made that trip.
Yeah, excellent. And thank you for sharing it, Greg. We really appreciate that. Let's go to one more call real quick. Johnny in L.A. That's right, Los Angeles, California. Hi, Johnny.
Hello, I'm actually in Wisconsin right now.
Oh, you are.
Where I live.
You just want to impress us with the LA thing, I know.
Well, I'm just traveling on the road right now. I don't know what town I'm in, so I'm sort of like, well, I don't know what to tell you.
Sure.
My question is about the theater. I've never been to the theater, but it sounds amazing from what you described on the show just now. And I wonder if there's any plans in the future to do original plays outside of the Shakespearean canon.
Yeah, we actually, it's interesting. We have an indoor space that we opened about 11 seasons ago, called the Touchstone Space, and it's our 200-seat indoor space. Up the hill is at 1089. So a lot of our flagship shows are the large cast, the things that really want to live in that outdoor space that other people can't do quite like that. And inside, we were able to explore a lot more small cast, modern classics, and more contemporary classics, all language-based, all poetry-based. And in the last couple of years, we have done some original plays. We've done some small cast, like one-person shows that were written for core company members. We did an original Gift of the Magi with chamber music, and it was quite beautiful. And those are really hard. New plays of any scale are really hard in a repertory situation to get them rehearsed, because I think they deserve the workshopping that they deserve, and they deserve the time to be developed. But we are on a track to try to, we have a very generous donor who gave us money to try to develop some new plays. Oh. So we're in the middle of maybe on a cycle of every 4 years, creating a new piece that we could workshop in the winter times and stuff. But we are really early in the stages of how that will become together. And they'll probably be classic adjacent or inspired by the Greek plays or some kind of, you know, some kind of classical illusion of some sort, and definitely be poetic. Yeah. That's the thing that we are really interested in as a company, mm-hmm. is language plays. So,
and that's another key point. You don't want to rush it because the quality that you have is just so high that you wouldn't want to have to just push something out there.
I had a playwright one time, a very well-known playwright, say, who wants to put themselves up against when you're doing Tennessee Williams, right. O'Neill, Wilson, Shakespeare. You got a pretty heavy load there to put yourself in that same pool. But we have done beautiful contemporary playwrights, and we're looking for more, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, let's actually talk about the upcoming season. So what do you have on the schedule? Go ahead, Carrie.
Well, we have open right now and running some five amazing productions. Outdoors, we have Twelfth Night and Macbeth. Both Shakespeare, She Stoops to Conquer, which is a delightful restoration comedy. Those are outside. And then in our indoor Touchstone Theater, which Brenda just mentioned, we have The Man of Destiny, which is a George Bernard Shaw piece, and A Lovely Sunday for Creve Coeur, which is a Tennessee Williams play.
Mm-hmm. It's a little more upbeat than normal for Tennessee Williams.
Very much more. Okay.
Very much more. Yeah. So those are open now, and then we are in rehearsal, and we will open in August, three more. August Wilson's Fences, The Book of Will, which is by Lauren Gunderson, and Ibsen's A Doll's House. Mm-hmm. And then after, those will run in rep together, all eight. So you can come for a week and see every single one if you want.
Yeah.
And then in November, we will be performing Doll's House Part 2, which Brenda will be directing in the Touchstone indoors.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk a little bit about Dollhouse too, because that's a new play, right?
Yes. Yep.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we always try to do something that a rep company has a lot of challenges, and so when we can do something no one else can do, which is run plays that are adjacent to one another and theme. And so we did Travesties and Importance of Being Earnest a few years ago, Hamlet and Death of a Salesman at the same time. So we really do try to connect the pieces so people can see things. And this was actually this new play by Lucas Nath. Wrote it in a direct response to Doll's House. So there's an ending to Doll's House that is epic. And Doll's House itself, the first play, which we are doing in our mm-hmm. season, has a very epic ending. It's probably one of the most important plays written in dramatic literature. And we all learned about it in college, right?
Yes.
Because the way it changed the way we write women and the way we look at women. And it was very controversial at the time. And it still is, sadly, controversial. That's why we love to do the classical theater. You get to see that we have come so far and not come so far. But Doll's House 2 was written in direct response to that. A lot of things have been written. What happens next after Nora's decision at the end of Doll's House? And I went to New York to see this piece because Laura Metcalf was working on it in New York. I got to see a preview. And I came back and I said, oh, what an incredible opportunity for us to pair it with Doll's House. And it's a wonderful piece, giving her voice to what happens after she leaves. But it's a comedy, but it's a little bit of a vicious comedy on some level. And it's also very moving, and it's very cathartic for those people that associate themselves, I think, with her plight.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to direct
it. Yeah, it's nice to be able to see all those different aspects of both of them.
Yes.
So. And let's go to Ross. He is in Door County. Hi, Ross.
Hi. I just wanted to call and give the opportunity to talk about my daughter, who's going to be performing at the ACT camp.
Great. She's coming Sunday. This week. Great.
Yeah, we're coming down on Sunday. And I just wanted you guys to talk about that program a little bit. And that guy who runs it, what's his name? I forget.
David Daniel. Famous David Daniel.
He wears yellow stockings on occasion. He was my roommate in college. Talk about ACT camp, please.
Okay. Well, so the man you're referring to is David Daniel, who is an amazing actor who will be playing Malvolio. You alluded to the yellow stockings. And he is our education director. And he is an incredible educator, an incredible teacher. And ACT Camp is a camp that we offer 1 week every summer for high schoolers, grades 9 through 12, who are interested in classical theater and classical acting. They see 4 plays at APT, and they work with APT actors on scenes, and then they have workshops with our staff, and they do it. It's similar. It's modeled like APT in that they're kind of isolated. They go to a campground out into the country. So there's nothing to do but theater. Mm-hmm. And it's a really great experience. The kids who come are fantastic. And we love having them around us. We love having them in the audience. They're great audience members. They're so sharp, and they just delight in the work that we're doing. And it's really inspiring and invigorating to have them around. So we're looking forward to meeting your daughter.
Cool. Well, thank you, Russ, for sharing that. So when is the adult version going to be available? Because I would like to sign up.
Good idea. I'm making a note.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because they do that with, you know, the Rockstar Camp. So why not?
All right. I know. We've actually talked a lot about what kind of training we could do or should be doing. So yeah, it's always ongoing conversation about what else. Although the staff's like, stop. We have enough going on.
Exactly. Well, that's another thing we haven't talked about is that we did a little bit, but the technical staff. I mean, you've got all the people who do sound, that do lights and do costuming and whatnot.
Yeah. At the height of the season, we have 200, around 200 employees.
Wow.
And when people come out on a tour, and I would encourage anyone who has not been on an APT backstage tour, if you've been to APT, it is extraordinary because no one really, really understands until they see them threading the netting on a wig, the team of people that build our wigs in the room doing it. And you're like, you're actually building the fronts, you're fronting all those wigs, and the kind of craftsmanship and the kind of dedication and the kind of artistry. So our costume shop is remarkable, and you could hardly fit another artisan in there at the height of the five. We do the five shows at the top, and so they are brought in from all over. They come from all over
do
the country.
They? Okay,
yep. And every show has its own build team. Mm-hmm. They have a draper who patterns it, and then a first hand and stitchers, and sometimes more than one draper, depending on how large the show is. And they build, we say a third. So we pull from our stock. We have a huge stock. So when you go on the tour, you'll see the stock of costumes, which is fascinating. Just to see the shoes is really, really interesting. And I think that you are to see those guys in the shop that build all the sets, and the sets have to be able to be taken down in 45 minutes or whatever. And to see the intense engineering that goes into that so that we get the sets that we do, and they are still efficient enough to be broken down and changed over in that time period over the dinner break. The props, I mean, it's a really amazing group of humans and dedicated and could, like, you know, it's funny, my family all works in different things besides the arts, and they'll come visit and they'll say, what are they doing? I mean, what are they doing here? They're so talented. They could be working in a for-profit situation and making, you know, a real living. And across the board, they'll say that. And a lot of people say that, but we're just grateful that they have some kind of passion for collaborating and telling stories, because I do think it's why we go to the theaters, to be together with live human beings experiencing something together. And I think that there's nothing like live performance. There's nothing, because anything could happen.
Yep. Oh, and does.
And does.
And does.
And I think it's a deeply moving thing to be to see a whole human being, complicated human beings together, and be safely watching the outcome of something like Macbeth. Mm-hmm. You know, that ambition that runs amok and that kind of blind rage and blind jealousy and that stuff, to sit safely in your seat with a group of people all kind of experiencing that, I think is profound. And I think we should never forget that.
Yep. Yeah. And I think it's been said a lot about how much time that we spend looking at screens and getting all this information fed to us. But this is such an opportunity to get away from that and to form your own ideas and views. So, is that how it is for you too, Carrie?
Yes. What's amazing about live theater is it's different every time. Mm-hmm. It's different. It's informed by, especially when you're outdoors, it's informed by the weather. It's informed by the whippoorwills who are really loud. Mm-hmm. And it's not unheard of for somebody to have to repeat a line because the whippoorwills have drowned them out. It's informed by the people who are sitting next to you, what that scene, how electric that scene was that night. It's all about the liveness. And I remember when we first moved to Spring Green and I first started this job, my kids had gone to theater, but not with the in the quantity that we were going to theater once we moved here. And a show closed. We were doing Sense and Sensibility, and it was the last performance.
Pride and Prejudice.
Pride and Prejudice. And my I came home one night and my son asked where I was. And I said, well, it was Pride and Prejudice closing. And he said, what? I can't see it again.
Oh.
And he burst into tears.
Oh, my gosh.
He didn't realize that once the play was done, the production was done, it would never exist again in that way.
Right.
And I just felt so heartbroken for him, but also realized how precious and special that is.
Oh, yes.
Because we will never do that production again with that team of people, with that design on that night. And that's how I feel about it. So every time I have an opportunity to be up there and see a play with an audience, it's a special thing. It's a gift.
Definitely. And you were talking about how you saw Shakespeare when you were, what, 12? And you didn't have any problem with understanding it. I think some people are like, oh, I don't get Shakespeare. I can't understand it. But address that as you saw it from a child's view.
Yeah, I first saw my first Shakespeare at the age of four. So
four.
I grew up in Platteville, and the Wisconsin Shakespeare Festival was there. Thank you to those callers who've brought it up. I started going at four. My mother told me I could not open my mouth under threat of pulling me out of the theater. So I did not. But she had given me the basic outline of what the plot would be and who the characters were. And I loved it. And I don't really think I had much of a sense of what was going on other than these two people are in love with each other and this guy is funny. And that was all I needed at that point. And I started seeing Shakespeare every year as much as I could after that time. I think that Shakespeare is for everyone. And you will, like all great art, you get different things out of it where you are in your life. It resonates differently whether you are 10 years old, whether you're 65, whether you're 30. You'll hear different things. You'll feel different things. And so I encourage people to come at all ages.
Well, you guys sent us a little clip. And so let's play that so people can kind of get the idea of what we're talking about. Go ahead, Dave.
M. Pimolio! M! That begins by name. Then there's no constancy in the sequel. That suffers under probation. A should follow, but O does.
And O shall end, I hope.
Aye, or I'll cudgel him and make him cry. And then I comes behind.
Aye, and you had any eye behind you, you might see more detraction at your heels than fortunes before you.
M-O-A-I. Now, this simulation is not as the former.
And that is from?
Twelfth Night. That was the David Daniel we were talking about, and Phoebe Gonzalez. Trini Sandoval, I think, was in that little there, too.
That's a good introduction to Shakespeare, don't you think?
Oh, Twelfth Night?
Yeah.
Yes, oh, it's the most balanced, in my opinion. My opinion, the most balanced comedy he wrote. It's his later comedy. Clearly, he's learned a lot about how to. But it has everything in it. Yeah. It has pathos. It has love. It has tons of humor. It's accessible. Mm-hmm. The story is very, and it has a lot of fantasy and a lot of, I don't know, everyone's in love with the wrong person in that play. And they think they know who they are, and they find out they don't know who they are until they find themselves. Can they actually fall in love? I think it's a beautiful, beautiful play and very, very fun.
And how many modern shows or books or whatever, films have been based on that?
Yeah. So many. Yeah. And I do think that, Carrie was saying that, that Shakespeare's for everyone. And I think that Shakespeare, we say that. And I think that what I hope is true is that those plays are speaking to us and we're speaking to them. And they'll be here as long as we can do that.
Right.
We can be in conversation with each other.
Yeah. Well, we're winding down a little bit, but let's tell people that it's Founders Day today.
Right.
Happy Founders Day.
Exactly.
Which means
the very first performance at APT was 40 years ago today.
That is
July
amazing.
18th.
That was that Midsummer Night's Dream with Jonathan Smoot speaking the first words on stage that day.
Lovely. Yes. And so to commemorate that, for people who want to get tickets, there's a special code.
We will be having, we are having a sale today.
We've never done this before, ever. But 40, we've never been 40 before either, so.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And I don't know that I have the code here. You can call the box office.
I think is it Founders 40?
Founders 40.
Oh, there you go. I think it actually is. But you can
Brenda's
call the box
your email. The box office is 608-588-2361. And so for Founders Day, we have a special sale going on for $40 tickets to any show on the Hill.
That's
any
good
seat.
Deal.
Any seat. Any play.
Well, just say that again. Yeah, it's Founders 40. It's $40 for any Hill show, any seat, any performance, which if you've been out there, you know there's a lot of different kinds of seats
out there.
So for $40, that's a good
very good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So take advantage of that.
Please.
Yeah. So real quick, what's your favorite show this year?
I can't possibly. I just think it's a great season. I'm not kidding. Well, if I had to choose one, I don't know. I can't say.
You can't. It's like asking your favorite child.
Right? Exactly. Yes.
I mean, on any given day, let me tell you.
See, maybe you should say the one that's playing tonight.
Yeah, it's the one that's playing tonight. The one that's playing tonight is
She Stoops to Conquer.
Okay.
Oh, and it's fantastic.
All right. There you go.
That's our favorite today.
All right. Okay. Ladies, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. We've been talking with Brenda DeVita, and the artistic director for APT, and Carrie Van Halgren, the managing director.